morning, everybody, and welcome to the midweek edition of the Panic Podcast. My name is Mike. It's good to have you with us. We're going to be looking at some environmental issues on today's Panic Podcast. Stay tuned. We'll get started in just a second. Environmental issues. Did you like that? We're going to look at the pillar of cloud today. The pillar of cloud. So open up your Bibles to, let's see, Exodus chapter 40 and Numbers chapter 9. And we'll start taking a look at those in just a second. We had a couple of really interesting answers to prayer. Actually, we've got more than a couple, but a couple I want to share with you. First of all, I just want to remind you that you are welcome and encouraged to share your prayer requests with us at Mike's Place. Just use the comment section, and I will get them, and I will forward them on to our team of prayer warriors, where they are kneeling by. They don't stand by. They kneel by, waiting to get your prayer requests. And we take this very, very seriously, all right? Nothing happens in this world unless somebody somewhere is praying for it to happen. Jesus said, pray that the Lord's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. James said to pray for one another that you may be healed. And we are simple enough to believe that if we pray for your need, then that need will be met according to God's will. So please take advantage of us. I encourage you to do that. Take advantage of us and test the Lord in this. Test the Lord in this. Send your prayer request and see if the Lord doesn't meet that need. But we got a couple of very interesting answers to prayer. As I said, we got more than a couple. We got 6 answers to prayer sent in to us. So thank you for that. We've had people's health, people recover. We've had direction given where it was needed. We've had doors opened up, so the Lord is faithful. But I wanted to mention these. This one in particular had just came in first thing this morning. Dear Mike, we're so thankful this morning that my daughter's husband is okay. He's a police officer and was exposed to a bad drug during a drug bust. He ended up in the ER, but he's doing better. So we thank the Lord for that. And along with that came a prayer request. Pray for people in a very bad accident in Norton. Early this morning, one person died. Norton is where my church is located. I don't live in Norton. I live in a community a few miles out of town, and I didn't see any accident, but apparently it occurred before I got in this morning. Or maybe after I got in, early. So please pray for that. And I got a really nice note from somebody that said, this person's son was looking for a job, and he needed to get an interview or at least a solid contact at a particular firm. Listen to this. God provided that contact in the form of a retired managing partner with whom I met through my work as a real estate agent. He interviewed my son, that's just the first step, and recommended him for placement in the firm. This individual loved everything that he saw in my son, especially his character, and she gives God the glory for this. And along with that comes a prayer request. Please pray for my son through to a position. My son saw how faith in God is not just wishful thinking, and he knows now to wait on God's timing. Okay, now let's talk about something. We talk about how God miraculously heals, right? We pray for somebody, and it's like, I mean, moments after we say amen, they're healed. Or they recover. They recover, you know, the next time they go in to see the doctor, the doctor says, whoa, I can't believe it. Look at this. Look how your x-ray has changed or whatever. Or we pray that God will do a certain thing and it miraculously happens, virtually unexplainable. But then there are other times when God meets our needs providentially, like a miracle you can't explain. All you can say is, to God be the glory. He healed my loved one, or he provided this for my neighbor or whatever in a miraculous way. And that's wonderful. We'll take a miracle when we can get it. But providence is fascinating to me. And this person, who put their son in touch with somebody that they know, that's a providential act where God sort of maneuvers people into our lives to meet needs that we have or needs that someone we care about may have. And I marvel at providence. I love miracles. They're miraculous. but I marvel at providence, and God's providence is fascinating to me. And it's at least as interesting as a miracle, don't you think? How God is able to, I don't know if I would say manipulate, but he manipulates the circumstances of our lives to bring His will into fruition, either for us or for somebody that we care about. And sometimes we're so busy looking for the miraculous that we miss the providential. And I bet you that if you took the time to think about it, you would marvel at how God has providentially answered your prayers over the years. And a providential answer to prayer is no less, phenomenal than a miraculous answer to prayer. Both are deserving of your praise and of your glory, don't you think? Well, let's look at a couple of verses. As I said, let's look at Numbers. And those half a dozen folks that sent in their praise reports, good on you. You need to do that. When God answers a prayer, either miraculously or providentially, you need to tell somebody right away, because it will not only confirm what God has done and God will get the glory for what He's done, but that will encourage other people. Because if God can meet your need, He can certainly meet their needs as well. So when you have an answer to prayer, tell somebody. And if you don't have anybody to tell, if you're all by yourself in the world, you don't have any friends, you might have some enemies, you probably do, tell them. And if you can't find them, tell me. Just send me an email and let me know that God has answered a prayer, whether we prayed for it or not. It's very important that you do that. Okay. Let's get started. We're going to look at a very interesting thing, the pillar of cloud today. Now, we're going to go back, on Friday, and we will take a look at the court of the tabernacle in the wilderness, and we'll look at some more of the building materials. But I want to take a break from that just today and take a look at this pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Remember when the children of Israel left Egypt, they were guided day and night by God's presence in the form of these clouds and this flame of fire. Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 21. On the day the tabernacle was raised, the cloud covered it. And that evening the cloud changed to the appearance of fire and stayed that way throughout the night. It was always so, the daytime cloud changing to the appearance of the fire at night. When the cloud lifted, the people of Israel moved on to wherever it stopped and camped there. In this way they journeyed at the command of the Lord and stopped where He told them to, then remained there as long as the cloud stayed. If it stayed a long time, then they stayed a long time. But if it stayed only a few days, then they remained only a few days, for so the Lord had instructed them. And look at Numbers 40, pardon me, Exodus chapter 40. Just go back a few pages. Exodus chapter 40, verses 33 to 38. Then Moses erected the enclosure surrounding the tent and the altar, and set up the curtain door at the entrance of the enclosure. So at last Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled it. Moses was not able to enter because the cloud was standing there, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud lifted and moved, the people of Israel journeyed onward, following it. But if the cloud stayed, they stayed until it moved. The cloud rested upon the tabernacle during the daytime, and at night there was fire in the cloud, so that all the people of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. All right. The origin of this pillar of cloud is a mystery. We don't know where it came from. We were talking about just a moment ago about God's providence. And that's how God uses, you know, people or uses the naturally occurring things of this world to answer prayer or to make his will come to pass. And I don't know if this pillar of cloud was a supernatural thing or whether the Lord somehow, you know, manifested his presence in the form of clouds and it was like a real cloud. I don't know. But the cloud is generally considered to be a type of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That is to say, you had this pillar of cloud, and God was in the pillar, just as surely as God was in Christ. That was something that the Apostle Paul taught to the Corinthians in his second letter, 2 Corinthians, let me see, where are we, 5, verse 19. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. God was in Christ. As surely as God was in the cloud, God was in Christ. And I think that as we look at that cloud of God's presence, and we look at God's presence in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, the man, we see, I think, the union of weakness and power. When you think about clouds, you know, they're fluffy things. They don't last forever. They're always changing shape. They're not permanent. They get blown around by the wind. So a cloud may be considered weak. And yet this particular cloud apparently, you know, moved at the whim of God. It was a pillar. It was something that was strong. So you had God inhabiting this cloud, making it strong, giving it a mind of its own, so to speak. And so it is with Jesus Christ. You know, this is an interesting thing to contemplate, where you have the Son of God and the Son of Man joined together in one person, two natures perfectly united to form Jesus Christ. And the really interesting thing, and we don't often think about this, you know, when the Son of God left heaven, and you read about this in Colossians, you know, he surrendered many of his divine attributes to become a man, and he became weak. He became weak as we are. He was subject to all the things that we are subject to. When you think about it, sunburn, you know, scrapes, bruises, you know, getting stung by insects or whatever. I mean, that was something that the glorious Son of God never experienced. But when he came to earth in the form of a man, as a man, all of a sudden, you know, he humiliated himself to experience things he'd never experienced as the perfect second person of the Trinity. But when he left heaven, you know, he gave up many, not all, but many of his divine attributes for a time. And, of course, when he ultimately died, rose again from the dead by the power of God, the Spirit of God raised him from the dead, and then he would eventually ascend. You know, he'd return to heaven from where he came, restored in all of his glory and so on, but still retaining something, retaining a part of us. So if you could peer into heaven right now, you would see a glorified man at God's right hand. our nature was permanently attached to the glorious Son of God. That's a beautiful thought. So, you know, we had the weakness of man and the strength of God working at the same time. And it's a mystery. It's a mystery how that happened. But God manifest in the flesh. It's a mystery how it happened. Just like this cloud was a mystery. Can't explain where it came from or how it operated the way it did. To those outside that pillar of cloud, to onlookers, you know, for all intents and purposes, it looked like a puff of smoke, a permanent puff of smoke. Just a cloud that stayed, a cloud that didn't move. It just looked like that. But to those who, you know, who knew, who were in the know, the children of Israel understood that that cloud was hiding the presence of God. The outside couldn't see it. The outsiders couldn't see it. But the Israelites knew by faith that God was in that cloud, and they understood that when it moved, it wasn't the breeze that was blowing the cloud. It was God deciding it was time for the camp to move to its next location. And I mean, that's the way it was with Jesus Christ when he was on earth during his earthly ministry. I mean, how many people had no clue who he was? I mean, even the disciples, you know, they weren't 100% sure. These men walked with him, talked with him. They saw the miracles. They saw the signs. And yet, towards the end, they still weren't sure. Even Peter makes that incredible declaration. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know, you're blessed because God revealed this to you. You wouldn't normally have come to that conclusion, but God revealed it to you. Good for you. But then not long after that, you know, there's Peter denying that he knew Jesus, denying him three times, just not sure just who this Jesus was. It's easy for us to look at the apostles and say, Lord, what a bunch of thick-headed fools. How could they not know? But, I mean, you know, they're part of the human condition is that they were just a little bit blinded until Jesus rose from the dead, and especially until they received the promised Holy Spirit. So when our Lord was here ministering, most people didn't recognize, you know, who he was. And even today, you know, you have people in the world who have great respect for this Jesus Christ. They view him as a great teacher, a very moral individual, a prophet like, you know, the Muslims teach. But they don't see him as the Son of God, just like so many would look at that pillar of cloud and think, yeah, that's weird, man. Look at that cloud covering the tent. It doesn't dawn on them that that's the very presence of God. God in the cloud is kind of also a foreshadowing of Christ in the Scripture. John 5:39. Let's read that. It's an interesting verse. The Gospel of St. John. Let's see. I'm throwing things everywhere on my desk here. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus is talking. He says, you search the Scriptures, for you believe they give you eternal life. But the Scriptures point to me, yet you won't come to me so that I can give you this eternal life. The Scriptures point to Jesus Christ. Everything about the Scriptures testify and point to the Son of God. And what Scriptures was our Lord referring to here in the Gospel of John? Well, of course, he's referring to the Old Testament, the Tanakh. He's referring to the Scriptures, that the only Scriptures that the Jews had at the time. New Testament hadn't been written yet. The New Testator was right in front of them. But they did not know. They did not know, you know, everything they were reading in their Scriptures, everything was pointing to Jesus Christ, the man standing right in front of them. The written Word of God was revealing the living Word of God, and they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. There are those that looked at the cloud and they saw a cloud. It didn't mean anything more to them. And, you know, skeptics may sneer at the pillar of cloud and say things like, yeah, the first big breeze is gonna blow it to pieces, and it's going to just dissipate in the air. Because they didn't know that God was in the cloud. All the storms of criticism cannot hinder the steady and stately march of the Scriptures of God towards the truth of God. There is a living divine personality abiding and breathing through that pillar of cloud. And that same presence is in the Word of God. It is the Word of God, number one, that saves people. We're told that. You're not saved apart from the Word of God. And the Word of God is what changes people's lives. Because it's miraculous. Because God's presence is in the Bible. We don't worship the Bible. We don't worship the Bible any more than the Israelites worship the cloud. They knew by faith that the cloud contained God's presence. The cloud was not God, but God's presence was in that cloud. The Bible is not God, but it is God's Word. The Bible does not contain God's Word. The Bible does not become God's Word when a person reads it. It is God's Word. All the Bible is God's Word. Every single verse is equally inspired. The words in red are no more pertinent or no more inspired than the words written in black ink. The Word of God is the Word of God from God. You need to understand that. We need to reverence God's Word, and we need to pay attention to God's Word, because God's Word will lead us. God's Word will guide us just as surely as that pillar of cloud, which became fire. I shouldn't forget to say that at nighttime, because you can't see cloud at night. Just as surely as the cloud and the fire led the Israelites, the Word of God leads us. The cloud to the Israelite was an evidence that God was a personal God. The cloudy pillar was the visible evidence of the invisible God. Psalm 46:5 says that God is in the midst of his people, and therefore his people will not be moved. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you, all right? God is with you. If you're a believer, God is with you. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Jesus Christ to us is what that pillar of cloud was to Israel, the visible expression of the invisible God. Jesus himself said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Interesting verse here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to this. This is from the Living Bible. God's Son shines out with God's glory, and all that God's Son is and does marks him as God. He regulates the universe by the mighty power of his command. He is the one who died to cleanse us and clean our record of all sin, and then sat down in highest honor beside the great God of heaven. God's Son shines out with God's glory. The cloud to the Israelite was also evidence of divine fellowship. Deuteronomy 5:22 says that God spoke to them out of the cloud. God was traveling with them during their wilderness wanderings in the cloud. I mean, wow, that's a wonderful thought. The Israelites wandered around in the desert for 40 years because they were sinful, right? That trip from Egypt to Canaan land should have been like a week and a half. 11 days, I think it is. But instead, it was 40 years because of their sin. But God didn't leave them for those 40 years. He stayed there, and the cloud was evidence that in spite of their sinful condition, in spite of the fact that, you know, their wandering around in the desert for 40 years was a punishment for their sin, God never abandoned them. He stayed right there with them. And were from wherever they were in the camp, they could look, they could see the cloud, and they could rest assured that God was with them. Jesus said, "I am with you always." Matthew 28:20. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. God's presence is with us constantly in the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't look for a cloud anymore. We don't look for, you know, Jesus in the flesh anymore to know that he is with us. We have God dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children. Thirdly, the pillar of cloud was also the guarantee of abundant supply. I mean, they had to eat, these people. You know, there was no Food City or Food Lion or Payless or IGA out there in the desert. They needed to eat. They needed to drink. While abiding with the pillar, all their wants were met. All their needs were met. The manna fell every day from heaven. The water flowed from the rock. Right? And that's a significant thing, too. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 for just a second. Remember Moses, you know, the people were thirsty, dying of thirst. And God told Moses, at least the first time, hey, hit that rock and you'll get water. look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Fascinating verse here as it relates to Moses hitting the rock. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. I'll start reading at verse 3. And by a miracle, God sent them food to eat, that was the manna, and water to drink. There in the desert, they drank the water that Christ gave them. Listen, he was there with them as a mighty rock of spiritual refreshment. That's something that we need to learn. We need to learn that. Why did water come from the rock? Because thousands of years later, that rock would be compared to Jesus Christ. The abundant water flowing from him, you see. All the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There's not a promise. There's not a promise that is not fulfilled in Jesus Christ. If you abide in him, he abides in you, the fullness of God will be in your life. The presence of the pillar also meant protection. At the Red Sea, you remember the great pillar of clouds came between the Israelites and the Egyptians back in Exodus 14, delivering the one and destroying the other. I mean, it's significant. It's significant. Exodus 14, look at Exodus 14, let me see, verse 24. And the study's quickly coming to a conclusion, isn't it? Exodus 14, verse 24. But in the early morning, Jehovah looked down from the cloud of fire upon the array of Egyptians and began to harass them. Yeah, you don't want God harassing you. Their chariot wheels began falling off so that their chariots scraped along the dry ground. Let's get out of here, the Egyptians yelled. Jehovah is fighting for them and against us. Yeah. Yeah, the presence of the pillar, the cloud, or the fire meant protection for the Israelites. The Lord, through Christ, saved us. And he is still saving us through Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, our salvation is declared in the three tenses. We are saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. The presence of God in our lives is saving us. He is protecting us. We may not even notice it. How many dreadful experiences have we missed because we've been protected supernaturally by the presence of God in our lives? We'll never know until we see him in person, will we? The coming of Christ to the cross was the coming of the pillar between us and the great enemy, sin. He came between that he might overcome sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and save all who put their faith and trust in him. The pillar was also a shelter to Israel. It was, in fact, a huge umbrella overshadowing the whole camp, with its shaft reaching down into the midst of the people coming to rest on the mercy seat. Psalm 121 says that the Lord is your shade. The presence of Christ with the believer has a wonderful shading and comforting effect. When the hot, fierce rays of adversity are falling on us, days of adversity are sure to find us. Yes, indeed they are. You know, you cannot avoid trouble. Trouble will find you. Sometimes the Lord saves you miraculously from the trouble. Sometimes the Lord providentially delivers you from the trouble. Sometimes you're stuck in the trouble, but God's presence will shield you and protect you. The Lord is your shade. He shelters you from sin and wrath by the blood of Jesus Christ. He shelters you from sadness and misery and sorrow by the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. The pillar was also the Israelites' source of light. See, it was a pillar of cloud by day, and by night it was a pillar of fire. So you can't see the cloud at night because it's dark. So that cloud turned into fire somehow. They had no light of their own apart from that supernatural cloud of fire. They had no light to see anything by in the nighttime. And Christ, as we know, is the light of the world. Jesus said that if you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness, but you'll walk in the light. He is the light of life, right? John 1:4 says, life was in the light. To be filled with his life is to be filled with his light. There's no spiritual light or enlightenment apart from a relationship with the living Son of God. Okay? The pillar of cloud and fire was their guide. Numbers 9:18. When it moved, they moved. When it came to rest, they rested, whether it was for a day or a month or a year. To go without the pillar of cloud or fire was to leave God's presence. That meant you'd be walking without light, without shelter, without protection, without provision, without a promise. Boy, that's exactly the way it is for the Christian and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Without Christ, you're out of touch with the person, with the preciousness, the fullness of God. There's a danger of losing his fellowship if you lag behind or run ahead of God's presence. If you are not growing in grace, grace will not grow from us. Many Christians have lost their joy. They've ceased to be glad. They've ceased to be optimistic and hopeful and useful because they've allowed the pillar of God's presence to leave their sight. Christ does not now fill the vision of their soul. But see, to walk in the light is to keep in personal touch with the living God through the fellowship of Christ and the Holy Spirit. This guide that the Israelites had, the cloud and the fire, was infallible because God was in the pillar. And he was the one that was guiding. Understand this, the Word of God is the presence of God. And the Word of God is a lamp to your feet. It is a sure word. It is a dependable word. And the Word of God is something that you need to constantly take heed of and pay attention to. In this sure word, there is the still small voice of the infallible God. Now, there are many books that you can learn from. In my life, you know, Dad made me read Atlas Shrugged. Anybody read Atlas Shrugged? I was a teenager and Freudian slip there. I was a teenager and my father gave me a copy of Atlas Shrugged and he said, read it. That thing is long. But I learned a lot. My view of politics was shaped by Atlas Shrugged. Moby Dick. Moby Dick was another book that I read, and that helped shape my view of the world, and again, God's providential acts. But nothing changed my life like the Bible. You can get good ideas from any books, but only the Bible can change your life, because only the Bible has God's power in it. The Bible is God's word to you. All right. Okay, we better stop there. We're going to get back on Friday, Lord willing. We'll get back and we'll talk about some of the other parts of the tabernacle and how they relate to you as a Christian. So don't forget, keep those prayer requests coming in. If you've had an answer to prayer, we would love to hear about it so that we can share it with others. We want to rejoice with you. And let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Let's join our hearts together and pray as the Lord wants us to. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everybody who tuned into the podcast this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint their ears to hear you continually speaking to them throughout this day. I pray, Lord, that you would give them encouragement through your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would lead people into their lives to help them. I pray that you would lead them into other people's lives to help them. I pray that you would use each and every one of us to extend your kingdom on earth. Lord, I ask that you would help us to love as you love. I pray that you would help us to help meet the needs of others as surely as you have met our needs. I pray, Lord, that you would keep us all safe and sound and healthy until we can meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, it's Wednesday, so do say a prayer for us. We've got our big Bible study tonight at 6 o'clock. If you're in the Wise County area, stop by. Church is at 1230 Church Street Northwest in lovely downtown Norton, Virginia, right beside the graveyard. We have the best neighbors in the world. So if you're in the area, stop in. We're doing the Everything Bible Study. The big Bible study, best Bible study of your life tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. If you can't be here, pray for us that we have a good study. Those studies will be posted on the podcast in a couple of weeks. We'll start putting them up there. On Mondays, they will take the place of our Daniel study, which will end this coming Monday. All right, folks, get out there, make it a great day. We'll see you on Friday. God bless.